the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.
Good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to fire at you this morning. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Let's start with the bad news, Dave.
Well, the bad news is there was an argument between two people in what I'm sure is lovely Milton, Florida. A 30-year-old guy named Brian Stewart got into a serious fight with his neighbor last week. And then he threatened him, but in seemingly kind of a nice way. He said, I'm going to kill you with kindness.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's what, parents always tell us to do.
He's going
to
get him. Yeah.
Kill him with kindness, especially in a place like Milton, Florida, which is
yard.
Which is on the panhandle of Florida, just northeast of Pensacola.
That's when another neighbor intervened because things were getting pretty heated between these two.
Was he complimenting him? He was like, you look so dapper. You're such a great neighbor.
You're beautiful. Taller than me.
The guy couldn't handle the compliments?
No. It's the other neighbor intervened because Brian whipped out a machete. And the machete had the word kindness written on it. So he meant that he was going to kill him with his machete named Kindness.
Well,
how much do you think he was laughing on the inside? To see the machete has the word kindness on him. Killed him with kindness.
Well, he was arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated battery. And to throw it back to the great Selena Gomez, she actually has a song called Kill Him With Kindness.
Oh, okay. Put down the weapons you fight
and kill him with kindness. Why don't you kill me with this song?
What do you think's worse? This song or getting stabbed with a machete?
Having to listen to this song on repeat.
Yeah.
While being stabbed with a machete.
Take my ears with that machete.
Yeah.
Please.
Some good news today as well.
What do we got?
Bill Heinrichs and Mary Ziegler live in Minnesota. They met in high school and married for 21 years before they got divorced. All the way back in 1995, so it's been a while, right?
Yeah. Been a minute, yeah.
But even after their divorce, they stayed friendly, partly because they have a couple of kids together, so go figure, right? They still see each other a lot. They're both in their early 60s now, and Bill has been having, unfortunately, some health issues. He's doing a lot better now because Mary gave him one of her kidneys. About 40 of Bill's friends and family had already been tested, and none of them were a match. So Mary was like, fine. Quote, we grew up together. I knew that my children and grandchildren needed him in their lives. The surgery happened in October. Went great. Bill says, Mary, what she did for him was incredible. He's still blown away by it. And he also joked that couples should try to get along after a divorce because, quote, you just might need a kidney someday.
Don't tell that to, what's his name's wife? The, that comedian, you know who I'm talking about, George Lopez.
Got
a kidney from the wife.
For those of you that don't know, George Lopez, total dirtbag, got a kidney from the wife and then divorced her. Well, cheated on her, then divorced her.
Yeah.
Super duper.
Let me ask you this. Your friends come to you, ask you for a kidney. What do you do?
Well, it depends who it is.
Good friend.
Are you saying you?
Do you need a kidney?
No, I don't need a kidney.
If you needed a kidney, I'd give you a
kidney. Your liver's probably worse than mine.
My liver? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't want my liver. Oof, that thing's got some miles on it.
I feel like here's what I would do, and if I'm being honest, because he said 40 of his friends were tested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they weren't a match.
Yeah.
Like, do you got to show up the paperwork?
Yeah, you're like, no, I did, man. Yeah.
Not a fresh
kidney juices or whatever you do with that.
Abnormally sized kidneys.
Just going to have to kill you with kindness.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
I really would give you a kidney if you needed one.
That's sweet.
I'm good. You got kids.
I have two, though. Two kids and two kidneys.
Yeah, you might have to give one of them a kidney.
Kids are going to want my kidneys.
Like, my dad.
Yeah, that's... You're healthy, man.
Somehow I feel worse.
Just take care of yourself.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, you all forgot tickling me today. This is Elmer if you've forgotten about me. I'll be waiting for you. I miss you. Bye.
Message deleted.
Boy, I'm really glad that was Elmo. If that was anyone else calling and saying you left without tickling me today with a voice like that, it would have been even more disturbing.
That was a really bad Elmo impression.
You think so?
I think so.
Can you do an Elmo impression?
I don't do impressions.
Oh.
I don't.
It's true.
Yeah, never.
I don't think I've ever heard Mahoney do an impression.
I don't do impressions.
He'll from time to time, like, kind of break into one for just a brief second.
I could do a southern guy.
And then he instantly pulls up.
That's about
it. You can do a southern guy and a sassy black lady, and that's about it.
About that. Yep. Those two things. Yeah. Those two things.
Short period of time. Message after the tone.
You ever been driving alone and you find yourself going a little faster than you should? And next thing you know, you got to make a turn. You feel like such a badass that you don't even turn on your turn signal. Yeah, me too. I have a court date in April now because of it.
Message deleted.
Use your turn signals, man. It's not that hard. It's just, it's right there.
Yeah. It would be nice with all the advanced technology that we have in cars that it would be automated for these people who refuse to turn on or use their turn signals.
It's not even hard either. It's right, like right there.
No, I agree. But like, there are these clowns who refuse to use them. And they love to zip in between cars and drive like maniacs.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then we all wind up at the same light. And sometimes I'm even ahead.
If they're right next to you, do you give them a dirty look?
The slow look over, just the dirty look. Like
I want to just see what you look like.
Yeah. I don't wish death upon you, but I hope you crash into a pole.
And live.
All of us should be allowed to have harpoons on the front of our car that we can deploy once a month.
Mm-hmm.
At the person that we really don't like, just reel them in. I don't know what we do after that.
Smack them upside the head? And then let them go?
Nah, I mean, mess up their car or something. You probably don't want to physically hurt them, right? Because then you're going to get in trouble for that.
And not the car thing?
It depends on how big of a jerk they're driving like.
You're right. Let's hack them up with that machete named kindness.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, as we all know, Mahoney is a very interesting guy. So, I got a question for Dave, Ian, and Sylvia. Can you guys tell us one interesting fact about you that we don't know about you guys?
Message deleted.
Wait, Mahoney just gets a pass on this?
He says I'm a very interesting guy.
Because he's a very interesting guy?
I think Ian's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to say
something. Ian's way more interesting than Mahoney.
Yeah.
No way. They once, when they were first rolling out that Dos Equis, most interesting man in the world.
Uh-huh. Dos Equis.
Yeah.
Dos
Promotion, like, God, it's like been like 12 or 13 years now. Yeah. They wanted me to do that here.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand, like, because, you know, it just seemed like a really dumb idea. Yeah. And the commercials weren't out for any, like, context. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds really dumb. Like, you're going to go to bars and you're going to drink this beer.
You're like, what's interesting about that?
Yeah.
It's what I do literally every night.
Uh-huh.
Okay, interesting fact about you, Sylvia, go.
I'm recording some music.
You are?
I am.
Please tell me it's a southern hip-hop record.
No, it's mariachi.
Mariachi?
Mariachi? Really?
No.
Is it a sequel to La Chona?
No, I wish it were. But it's just like me and my buddy are like recording music, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Hopefully I'll get to show it eventually.
Your buddy? Yeah.
Your buddy?
A buddy of mine.
Yeah. Buddy.
Your buddy?
Your buddy, huh?
Your sex buddy?
Good old pal.
No, he's not sex buddy.
Could he be?
No.
Come
just
on.
A weird term.
Once the album is done, it's just so exhilarating.
She pats we'll him be on playing the back. That. Good job,
bud. Yeah. You make love to your own music? Is that weird?
I think so, yeah.
Nah.
Dave, what's an interesting fact about you? I don't think I know any interesting facts.
You don't know any interesting facts
I know,
at all about me?
I know a little bit, but nothing like...
Who says that?
Nothing like that.
So I was on a cross-country team when I was in high school. I was voted hardest worker, and it wasn't me, but we all went out for a cross-country meet one time. We travel for those sort of things, and we did the carb load before. So we went to this Italian restaurant the night before, and everyone had a nice Italian meal, and I didn't get hit quite as hard. My stomach was grumbling during the race itself, but one of my teammates actually pooped his pants.
He got the dookie poo.
He pooped his pants while finishing the race. We all saw it. He was coming down that home stretch, and you know, everyone kind of lines up. You're like, yay.
Turn
like,
on the turbo jets.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Like
Brian
trail.
Pooped his pants. Oh. He pooped his pants. He was running down his leg.
Oh, no.
Dave
Dave Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Stop stories! Here's what's making news.
Well, probably the top story today is that it rained throughout much of the valley overnight, so everyone's going to drive in inanimate objects this morning, so just prepare for a little bit of extra time.
Slow down, maybe.
Yeah. Everyone's going to drive like a boob today. You guys don't have dogs, so this doesn't apply to you, but my dog refuses. She's such a desert dog. She refuses to go outside when it's raining. So scratch at the door because she has to pee, and then I'll open the door, and she'll realize it's raining. She's like, I'm just going to pee inside. Just going to pee inside.
Did you, like, physically pick her up and take her outside?
Yeah, I'm like, no, you scratched the door. I got up off the couch while I was trying to watch the second episode of True Detective. You are going outside in the rain.
Yeah, did you pick her up and,
you
like...
You are going out there.
Just, have her do her thing?
Let's go.
Then immediately she starts
scratching back at the door.
She's like, I regret this decision.
If I had teeth, I would murder you in your sleep.
Well, you don't, so that's on you.
I'm going to gum you to death.
So a Chicago suburb was trying to rip off the Water Street District. If you're familiar over in Henderson, there's the Water Street District, which is on the upswing, if you will. They're doing a lot of things over there, really revamping it. As it turns out, the Water Street District is trademarked, and it's a nationwide trademark by the city of Henderson. Well, Naperville, which is a suburb outside of Chicago, which Ian says is a lovely place to raise a family.
I've been to Naperville. It's a nice place. Yeah. It's probably where I would live if I lived in Chicago.
They said, no, we just want to use the name. I mean, Henderson and Naperville are a long way away from each other. We want to use Water Street District. And Henderson said, it's not how trademarks work. It's nationwide. You may not. And so now Naperville will not use the term on maps. They won't put it on items like hats, shirts, bags, mugs, or the collector's item Naperville/Water Street District keychain, no longer going to be available.
I mean, I'm glad it's something in our neighborhood that is, you know, they're holding on to it. But if I was Naperville and they were shut me down like that, I would rename it to the F. Henderson District.
Some reason I don't think that's come up yet, but, you know.
Okay.
Plane from Las Vegas slides off of runway in Cincinnati.
That is pretty scary
stuff. An official says a plane slid off the pavement while taxiing to the terminal at the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. It always surprises me that this doesn't happen more often. In winter weather, with as bad as it gets across much of the country, you think about the idea of a plane taking off, landing, or just driving around, and how there's so much weight on those little teeny-ass wheels. Every time we're coming in for landing, I'm like, how are we not just flying off the runway right now?
That's what scares me, man.
To be fair, I don't really understand aerospace physics, engineering, and physics.
Dynamics.
And there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I'm like, this doesn't make sense. We should be dead. We aren't, though. It's cool.
I think this is just another reason not to fly into Ohio or anywhere in the Midwest right now.
You're blaming this on Cincinnati?
Yeah.
All right.
Or the weather.
I mean, if you're going to fly into a city in Ohio, Cincinnati probably should be the one. Maybe Columbus?
No. You been to Columbus?
I was going to say anywhere but Cleveland.
Stick with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Columbus is,
Okay.
So, opioids are obviously a big problem here in the United States. But, interestingly, they're starting to release some of the stats. Last year, the American Psychiatry Association found that 1 in 3 people know someone who is addicted to opioids.
Wow.
1 in 3 people. And now the drugs are the cause of a horrifying outsized number of deaths in the United States. You're more likely to die of an opioid overdose than in a car crash.
Do you guys know anybody who is addicted to opioids?
Thankfully, no.
Not off the top of my head, like somebody close to me, like a family member or a really close friend. But I mean,
like acquaintances?
Like a friend of a friend sort of thing. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I got a family member.
Oh, you do?
Addicted. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Which is, let me tell you, whole lot of fun to deal with that kind of nonsense.
Always asking for money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just lying constantly. And it's just like,
it's sad.
Never know if they're going to just be dead in a month or not. Or what they're going to do next. It's just, it's really sad to see, like, our country deal with this. Really, this is truly an emergency and an epidemic.
Yeah.
If you're saying that, according to this new study, that you're more likely to die of an opioid overdose than a car accident.
Yeah.
Like, because most of us.
1 in 96.
Under the age of, what, 60, for the most part? Mm-hmm. There are two things that are probably going to get you if you die under the age of 60. Cancer or a car accident. Outside of that, then a whole other litany of things coming. But now adding in opioids in there, that is wild and sad.
So just to put this in terms of, say, poker, the odds of getting a flush, not a straight flush or a royal flush, just a regular flush in a game of five-card poker are about 1 in 508. That means that you are five times more likely to die of an opioid overdose than you are of getting a flush in a card game. I think that's reversed. I think it's the other way around. So it's 1 in 508 for the flush.
Uh-huh.
It's 1 in 103 for the opioids.
Oh, my gosh.
So isn't that incredible?
That's insane.
Yeah. And 1 in 96 for the car crashes.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable, you know. And the people, the doctors and the CEOs and the pharmaceutical companies who've been pushing this for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, you know, as a solution. You know, there was a CEO who was just indicted because he came out and was bribing doctors to prescribe heavily opioids to patients who did not need them. Like, if there's anybody who you are, like, the most trusted person that you're supposed to have in your, you know, like, non-family life is probably the doctor, right?
Yeah, the doctor, you think that you trust your...
They're going to look out for your well-being.
Psychiatrist, if you have one, yes. But they're also slinging drugs a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Maybe a priest or something like that, but they're all touching
on
altar boys. Like, it's just, who do you trust anymore?
When you're sick... And if they're getting bought off for a trip to Cancun,
yeah.
Like, God, hold out for like something international.
Yes. At least go to Italy or something. Yeah. If you're going to kill me with opioids, go to the Amalfi Coast, not an all-inclusive resort called the Moon Palace, you loser.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Have you stayed at the Moon Palace?
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
It's in college?
Yeah. I feel you, Doc.
I don't blame you.
Dave and Mahoney.
All right, as predicted, it's raining in Las Vegas. That means that everything breaks, so we're having an issue with our phone right now for whatever reason. So we'll do cover your ears in a couple of minutes. Right now, it's Wise Words from the Web.
It's brought to you by Brian Head Resort. The base depth is 40 inches, which makes it 94 inches to date for the season. Log on to brianhead.com and click the lodging page for your stay and ski packages.
Wise Words from the Web. If you need some motivation, you know, if you're feeling a little bit down today because your phone system doesn't work at the radio station that you're employed with.
Yep.
As if we don't need phones.
Yeah.
Did somebody not pay
the essential part? Did anyone pay the bill?
Did somebody forget to pay the bill? I bet Tracy forgot to pay the bill.
Wait, whose month was it to pay the bill? Was it your month?
No,
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was mine.
It's your month?
I'm sorry.
Sylvia.
Shame.
So there's lots of reasons that you can get down. Thank God there are people out there on the internet that offer inspiration to us on a daily basis.
Yes.
And they do it in a powerful way.
Just get that extra shot of energy in the morning from Instagram.
These are some of the dumbest people on the planet that have access to social media, and they think they're inspirational. Eh.
It's time to get motivated. The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents Wise Words from the Web.
You're going to trust that I catch you. I'm going to trust that you fall. Laura, you trust me. Okay, let's do this. Are you ready? Here we go. When I say let's do it. Okay, Laura, let's do it! All right there. I got your attention. She's fine.
Sometimes we make it harder on ourselves by the decisions that we choose to make. For example, if you don't like something, guess what? Take away its power. Well, how? By taking away your attention. You feel me? Why are you following her if you don't like her? So every time she comes across your timeline, you get mad, bringing bad upon yourself by talking about somebody else. Block her. Bye. Take away your attention and put it in something to make you better. Do it.
Sometimes all that matters is, you know, how we look, how our body is. And when you don't have the best kind of body, girls don't find you attractive. So, when I get down, what I do is sing a little song that helps me feel better. 17 shots on 38. I got a Glock in my Rari. I got a Glock in my Rari. Okay, see? And then we feel better about life.
That was another motivating edition of Dave and Mahoney's Wise Words from the Web.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So you filmed that whole thing and you thought, I gotta post this one.
Yeah.
That was a good cry.
This was it. First.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So do you want to feel rich? Do you want to be rich and make less than six figures? Because that's possible, just nowhere on the West Coast or in the Northeast. So we all have to move.
So you can be rich if you make under six figures and you live in these places?
Right. So 20 states have economies where it's possible to make less than $100,000 a year and still be rich, according to analysis by Go Banking Rates. Researchers defined rich as having an income in the 80th percentile of all households within a state, then weighed regional high-end home prices, local costs of living to determine the states where a high-end lifestyle is possible for less than six figures. Based on those criteria, it's easier to be rich in Mississippi than anywhere else in the country, where $81,038 salary places you in the top tier of all earners.
That may be the, I don't know, Mississippi may be the state that I want to live in the least.
I just spent some time in Tunica.
Yeah. How was it?
Terrible.
You wouldn't want to live
terrible
there.
Tunica.
And Tunica's one of the nicer cities.
Well, yeah, so Tunica was one of the most impoverished places in the entire country.
Yeah.
Until they put casinos there, and then that obviously changed the economy to a degree.
Sure.
But yeah, it sucked. Based on the criteria, it's easier to be rich in Mississippi, like I said, than any other place, where the median price of a top-tier house is $218,000.
A top-tier house.
Yeah.
What defines a top-tier house?
Mississippi also has the fourth lowest mortgage payment in the U.S. and the lowest overall cost of living. Arkansas came in second with a salary of $81,917. That's what's needed. The average income is $58,850. West Virginia followed. Wealth income threshold, $82,000. Idaho came in third, maybe surprisingly, with a wealth threshold of $86,000. Kentucky fourth, requiring $87,000. And then Tennessee, Alabama, Oklahoma, South Dakota, South Carolina, Indiana, Maine, New Mexico, North Carolina, Missouri, Florida, Louisiana, Ohio, and Michigan all followed.
I think Florida would probably be, out of all of those, the best place to live.
Are you thinking about like Miami? But I thought Miami would be like
expensive.
Yeah.
I'm thinking somewhere like, you know, the
smaller,
the villages.
Already thinking about a retirement.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about like, you know, some of these places like Tennessee, Nashville is a pretty great place to live from what I've heard.
But are they talking about Nashville? Or are they talking about everything?
Like in the sticks.
You're
talking
about everything but Nashville.
Yeah. South Carolina. My family lives in South Carolina. I lived there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Charleston's great.
Yeah.
Greenville's actually getting pretty nice. But I think they're probably talking about like Gilbert, South Carolina. And everything
else. But not like the bigger cities, right?
Not the like one desirable city in the entire state. Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm curious where we would have fallen on this list, you know, 10 years ago in 2008 when the economy was dying. But it's nice to see that, you know, the economic forecast here in Nevada is moving up.
So people with extreme anti-science views know the least, but think they know the most.
Funny how that works out.
Explains a lot.
There was a study that was done.
Well, yeah, researchers asked more than 2,000 American and European adults their thoughts about genetically modified foods. They also asked them how much they thought they understood about GM foods and a series of 15 true-false questions to test how much they actually knew about genetics and science in general. The research showed that there's a human phenomenon that people tend to be lousy judges of how much they know. Go figure, right?
Sure. Okay.
Across four studies conducted in three different countries, the U.S., France, and Germany, the researchers found that extreme opponents of genetically modified foods know the least about the subject, but they think they know the most. People with an inflated sense of what they actually know and are most in need of an education of facts are the ones that are least likely to be open to new information. If there is a story that encapsulates the last, I don't know, ten years,
we're in a
this is it.
We live in a post-expert world. I'm not the smartest guy by any stretch of the imagination. I know that may come as a shock to most of you here and who are listening right now.
What?
But I am smart enough to know that I am dumb.
Yes.
Like, and that's an important thing to know.
Self-awareness.
You need to know that you're dumb. And that you should listen to experts and scientists.
It's like thinking that you're an expert, because let me just, you know, dumb it down for lack of a better term, when it comes to athletics, right? Because that's easier for people to understand. It's like the idea that you have the ability to go out onto an NFL field with that caliber of players and compete.
Yep.
Just because, you know, you feel like you probably, I watch it, it looks easy enough.
Yeah.
He's just catching.
He's just throwing the ball.
Just
he's just hitting him. He's fine. I can do that. That's the same thing, only with science, only you don't have that same appreciation for scientists because you're not willing to admit. You have to admit that their bodies and their physical capabilities are better than yours, right? Because that can be proven in an instant. But you're not willing to admit that their brain power is far more significant than yours.
The one that drives me crazy, because most of us have thrown a ball or played some sport at some point, but the one thing that all of us have a shared experience with is we all went to schools.
Yeah.
And we all went through school, so we all think that we know. Parents today think they know exactly what their, you know, how their kids should be taught and what teachers are doing. Well, it's got to be easy, right?
Got it.
And this is why the dumbing down of America and the lack of funding for education needs to be fixed. That weed money.
Hey, man.
Hey.
What about that weed money?
Hey.
So a police robot brought a dude a vape pen. That's a headline. Angry over problems at the pump, a 40-year-old man splashed gasoline on the floor at a gas station in California, a convenience store, while threatening to burn it down. The guy's name is Juan Roman. He stalked out, then returned with some paper, snatched a lighter off the counter. He ignited the paper and threw it on a gasoline-soaked floor mat.
Oh my gosh.
The mat did not catch fire, and he fled in his pickup truck to a nearby Safeway gas station where police caught up with him. Officers said they thought that they had initially seen a rifle or shotgun in a bag in his truck. They evacuated the area and began negotiating with him. 6 hours later, the guy said, look, I'll surrender in exchange for some cigarettes. But cops were worried that he might have gotten gasoline on himself, and so he'd light himself on fire. And police said, hey, dude, how about a vape pen instead? And dispatched a police robot. So if you can imagine the scene of like a Johnny Number 5 scooting over and bringing this dude a vape pen in his pickup truck. He did turn himself in.
I bet that dude doesn't even vape, bro.
That's all it took?
That's all it
took. This is the future that we're living in, robots and vape pens and guys named Juan Romano trying to set floor mats on fire. Also, can we stop it with the inflammable stuff? Because doesn't inflammable sound like it shouldn't be flammable?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know what inflammable means.
It's flammable as hell.
It's easily flammable.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Oh, you see, bro, you're in the flammable. You're in the flames. See, that's why we should call it inflammable. You're in them.
Why is this robot talking to me? Just hand me that thing.
Robot rolls up. What's up, bro?
Hey.
You want to hit this?
I got something for you.
Let's talk about chemtrails.
Puff, puff, pass, bro.
Cover your ears.
Morning.
What's up, Curtis? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
So you've heard cover your ears before?
I have it.
All right. So the way that it works is we've got ourselves five songs that are all popular alternative songs. They have been covered by individuals. Ian has found these performances, if you will, online, mostly on YouTube. Sometimes they're, you know, a bit of a stretch from what the original sounds like. But what you're trying to do is figure out the artist and the song. And if you get 3 points out of these five that we're going to play for you, you're going to win today, okay?
That sounds really good.
Dave, as you know, real artists, true artists, brilliant artists, take a song, and when they cover it, they make it their own. So I believe that this is their, you know, own version.
Yeah.
And even some of the greatest artists of our time, the Vincent Van Goghs, weren't appreciated when they were alive. Maybe these are classics.
You mean we'll appreciate them when they're dead?
When these people are dead, yes.
Okay, got it. Okay.
All right, so here we go. Looking for the artist and the song on each of these. Let's try number one. Good luck. All right, that's enough. So Mahoney, you were bobbing your head way before I would have gotten there on that song. You felt like
he was on it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I mean, I don't think this is too far off the original.
Oh, come on. All right, Curtis, what's your guess?
All I heard was Static in the beginning, but that's going to be Pearl Jam, Jeremy.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Eddie Vedder, hell of a musician, but he's always sung with a mouthful of marbles.
Yeah. All right, here we go on to song number two. A full point on that one, Curtis. Well done.
I was led to my own river. I
Look, it wasn't really that bad until all those morons started clapping off beat. What happened there?
We got into the music.
All right, Curtis, what do you got, man?
Well, I can't think of the song lyric, but it's Bastille for sure.
Okay.
Or, I can't think of the song name.
Who?
I don't have it. I don't have it.
All right, that's a half point.
Bastille?
Bastille.
Bastille. But whatever, you can say it how you want.
Bastille, your beating heart.
All right, on to number three. You're doing great, man. Point and a half. All right, here we go. It just sounded like he had a violent cold. Watch you!
Was he sneezing? Is that what it was?
All right, Curtis, any guesses?
I know the song very well. I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm just going to guess. Lit?
No. It's what comes before being lit.
Shit. Oh, whoops.
Sorry. We'll take care of that. 5 seconds. Any guesses?
I'm drawing a blank here, Dave.
All right.
It's a classic. It's a classic alternative. One of the shortest alternative songs ever to make the charts.
Blur, yeah. Sorry, you still got a point and a half. You're still alive. All right, here we go. On to number four. Good luck. 1984, like the talking heads. All right, 30 seconds right there.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was horrible.
Not an easy one. Yeah. It is a newer band. I'll give you that much.
Can I get a replay on that?
Yeah, I'll play you the back half because I think that there's more clues there.
Okay. There's something to turn and close. Ask me what I am looking for. You don't know. You're making it so
easy. You got it now, Sylvia?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. I'm drawing a blank, guys. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you. I don't know. Like, I usually get all of these. I don't know. I have no idea what that is. What is that?
Is it Dreamers?
It is Dreamers. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Sweet Disaster.
That's tough.
You've already got a point and a half here. If you get the full point on this last one, we'll hook you up, okay?
All right. Sounds really good.
All right. Here we go. 30 seconds. It's so good. I didn't want it to stop.
So bad. That's Blink 182, but I'm drawing a blank.
It's a.
How would your significant other describe your? You know.
Your.
Oh my God.
Hmm.
I don't have it. Damn it.
Big or small?
Big.
Wrong.
Come on, man. Damn it, Curtis.
I know it.
What's the one Blink 182 song?
I don't have it.
Oh, man. Oh,
Curtis.
Buddy.
I know.
Well, you've got another prize, apparently, unlike us.
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you're not going to win tickets, but I mean, you've won everywhere else. It's all the small things, but
All the small things. That's it. Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold. Ian will hook you up with something, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
You know, sometimes you get in trouble and you gotta face the music. Unless you hire a really shrewd attorney that can get you off of anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For example, like in this case, an attorney for a Pennsylvania woman charged with drunk driving hinted his client's coat chewing could have thrown off the results of her breath test.
Coat?
Coat.
Coat?
Coat.
Is that
like
as
to
in
warm
the jackets?
You up.
Like
yeah.
A coat. She's nibbling on it. The argument came during a hearing on Tuesday for a 47-year-old, who's, of course, her name is Jana. An officer who pulled over Jana testified she was nibbling on her coat before he gave her the breath test, and he ordered her to stop chewing on her coat. Jana's lawyer, Travis Petty, asked the officer if he knew the chemical composition of the coat, noting that certain substances can alter the results of the breath test.
It's a bold move.
Jana's test showed her blood alcohol level was 0.151, nearly twice the legal limit for drivers in Pennsylvania.
That's pretty drunk.
The officer said that Jana also smelled of alcohol and failed a field sobriety test. The judge ruled that there was enough evidence to go ahead and have those charges stand.
Yeah. Do you think she was chewing on her coat because she was drunk?
A little nervous, maybe.
Oh,
a little nervous.
Is that what it was?
When you were in elementary school, Dave, you know, you had the big coats because you lived in Minnesota. I had the big coat because I lived in winter in Missouri. And did you ever chew on the little strings? I used to like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah, you used to blast through those things. Like, you'd chew the little plastic tip off, and you get mad when you chewed it off because you're like, that's my favorite part.
It starts fraying.
Yeah. Even just like the rim of like my shirt and stuff, I remember like from time to time would like nibble on that, you know?
Yeah. Then you're getting drunk.
Now, speaking of eating things, a Florida man is facing additional charges for doing something a bit gross in the backseat of a police car. Not what you'd expect. Key West deputies arrested a 37-year-old named Melvin Stubbs for possession of cocaine on Thursday after deputies say that they discovered 40 grams of the drug on the person, which is a lot of cocaine. On his way to jail, deputies said that Stubbs chewed up or ate the seat of the patrol car.
What?
Yeah. Photos shared with news outlets show Stubbs took some pretty big chunks out of the patrol seat. He's now facing charges of cocaine trafficking, resisting arrest, and property damage.
Do you remember George the Animal Steel from the early WWF days?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he would go to the turnbuckle and just...
That was his shtick?
He would eat the turnbuckle and then... Maybe this guy was just a... This was an
big
old
fan.
Okay.
A big fan, yeah.
George honoring.
A tribute, yes.
Got it. Okay. Ew.
So a man says, I don't have any drugs on me. His name is Kenneth Johnson. He was in Nashville. He was being strip searched after guards accused him of hiding contraband. He kept telling him he wasn't hiding anything and stuck to his story even after they saw a plastic bag dangling from his booty. Here's the weird part. He apparently tried to fight off the guards, and they had to pepper spray him, according to the report. They sprayed him once in the face and another time in the buttocks.
And he was nude.
Oh, no.
And then were able to remove the substances. Turned out to be hiding two baggies of cocaine and fentanyl up there. Now facing a couple of charges of assault and possession.
I've eaten a lot of hot foods in my day, and that's pretty painful, but I could not imagine the sheer burning sensation that must happen if you get...
Pepper sprayed in the butt.
I was wondering if that burned.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Anywhere you get pepper sprayed, it burns.
Do you just dump a whole bunch of milk in it?
Ew, that'd be uncomfortable.
No, the whole gallon, man. Keep going. Keep going.
Still burning.
Worst milk mustache ever.
Mustache.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, in Gainesville, Florida, a man was arrested for being accused of arming himself with a samurai sword and swinging it at his brother. According to the Gainesville Police Department, Andrew William Mongas was in an argument over his brother's car. His brother refused because he claimed that the dude was drunk and had a suspended license. He was saying, hey, let me take your car. And he's like, no, man, it's my car. You're hammered. You're not going to get in my car and drive around drunk. Your license is suspended. That's when Andrew decided to arm himself with a pocket knife and reportedly said, I'll kill you. That's when his brother said, you know what? No. And then that's when he said, oh, a pocket knife's not enough? What about this samurai sword? His brother also just took the sword away and called the cops. When questioned by police, Andrew claimed that that he grabbed the knife in self-defense and denied ever grabbing the samurai sword.
Did it say if the samurai sword was indeed mounted on the wall?
Of course it was mounted on the wall. Or it was sitting on the floor with the intention of mounting it on a wall.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What is the minimum dollar amount that you need per day to survive, you think? Maybe like $20 or $40? And I guess what would you buy it, and where would you buy it, and why specifically would you buy it?
Message deleted.
The minimum dollar amount that a person needs to survive every day, or that each of us individually need to survive? Because I feel like that's very different. I mean, when I was in college, I would be able to get by on like $15-$20 a day.
Yeah.
You know, you eat ramen and, you know, you just need enough money for gas to get to where you're going. And
but if you're including like rent in there too, you know, I would see $20 a day is not. That's $600 a month. Whereas if you go 40, you can get by with $1,200. I've lived on less than that.
Yeah.
Could I do it again if I had to? Would I like it?
No,
I would not. Yeah. But I will say this. Since the diet has started,
you're already saving all kinds of money.
I'm like, man, where's all this extra money coming from?
You got your tax returns yet?
No, none of us.
Oh, you mean balling?
We'll see. I think this is going to be a bad tax year for me.
I worry for you though, man.
Why is that?
Because you're going to get your tax return and you're going to go crazy. You're just going to drive by Texas Day Brazil and be like, oh, my God, I can't help myself.
Go buy some rims for my Avalon. 20-inch blades.
No, they're going to be like 36s.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Everyone has, like, really nice shoes, which is weird to me. Like, it's an epidemic. Nice shoes. Real nice. And I don't agree with it. Like, I don't understand why people are spending $100 on a nice pair of new shoes just so that in a couple of weeks, they get them all dirty when they're pulling crap out of their garage or something. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's a waste of money.
Message deleted.
And what isn't a waste of money? Like, cars are a waste of money.
It's the biggest.
New shoes are a big waste of money. You know what I mean? Clothes, certainly. Like, what's the difference?
Makeup.
Like, you see, at least, I don't know about your guys' feeds, but, like, on Instagram, for example, I'll get all of these ads for all of these, like, workout shorts and shirts and stuff like that. And I click on it, I'm like, who pays $78 for a pair of workout
shorts?
They
are expensive.
Like, what's the point?
That's why people don't work out.
Yeah, Lululemon, man.
No, I'm
that's
just
saying. It's like $80.
Just go to Target, man. Target has great, like, their athletic apparel is really good. The Champion stuff is really nice. And especially the women's stuff, really nice.
I don't know if I'm going to take advice from you on athletic apparel. What?
Fits great, makes my ass look just...
Oh, does it have like that rouging in the nice butt?
You were just saying yesterday that you don't ever work out, that sweating.
No, but I have a ton of athletic wear. Like, I have a ton. Like, I probably have 20-plus athletic
shirts. Is that half the battle, like just dressing like an athlete?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to start showing up in football pads?
The beautiful part is that athletic wear is also can dub nicely as lounge wear perfectly.
Yes.
Like that, you know, remember what, 10 years ago, Under Armour was like incredibly expensive, but everybody has stolen that feel on the polyester workout clothes. Mm-hmm. And so now it's, you know, it's very soft to sit around. Even my bed sheets are in that.
You lay around in spandex is what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Ooh. Oh, man.
I look good.
Were you just riding a bike or something? Like, you look like Lance Armstrong. What's with that? Also, that nut cup is way too big. It's totally unnecessary.
And to readdress this man's initial complaint about shoes being too expensive, I'll tell you this. If you're a man, and you want just buy one really good pair of dress shoes. Buy a pair of Allen Edmonds shoes. It'll cost you a lot, but you can have those shoes for 30 years. It's, so you actually will save money in the long run.
That's what you tell yourself. That's how you justify it. How much did you spend on those shoes? Be honest.
Look at he smiles.
I was making a lot more money back then.
How much did you spend?
On those shoes. Like a pair of Allen Edmonds.
How much
dress
did
Oxfords?
You spend on those shoes?
Like $350.
Jesus, get out of here with that.
But I will never need to buy another.
No.
I will never.
Never. I've never spent $350 on a pair of shoes, I never will.
I will never need to buy another pair of dress shoes for the rest of my life.
He's not wrong. It's good to have.
You say that until you get into a police chase While you're dressed all fancy?
No, you can scuff them out, man. You
take yeah, I lost one in the swamp. Uh-oh.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. I'm a 911 dispatcher. I know I'm supposed to be empathetic and sympathetic and compassionate, but I'm really sick of dumb people. I had a woman call last night because her dog had diarrhea. If you need a fire truck, an ambulance, or a police car, call 911. Not because Pookie has the poops.
Message deleted.
Hey, man, you don't know what kind of emergency that was.
Yeah, you don't know,
you
man.
Ever had a dog with diarrhea?
Oh.
I don't know who I'd call in the hazmat team.
Because you got to set the house on fire.
Right. One
to Rump Las Vegas. Live from the Dollar Loan Center, don'tbebroke.com studios. Your home for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and Real Alternative X107.5.
Hey, this is a preemptive call. I'm about to burn this bitch down because my bitch just burned this place down herself. Oof.
Who gave her pizza? Who fed her? Who fed her human food? I told you not to do that.
Gives her the dookie poops.
That actually happens to my dog. Give her fat. And just...
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So thieves decided that they were going to steal, and I respect this, a giant bronze hippopotamus statue weighing 1,500 pounds in England.
I like it.
It is a 6'5" tall Goliath statue weighing a whopping 1,500 pounds, and it was stolen on Friday. Reportedly, the hippo is believed to have been stolen when somebody forced their way into this particular area. It's like a garden area in England.
Yeah.
The hippo originally took 5 people to lift it. Taking to Facebook, the business posted, "We are so sad that someone has stolen our beautiful hippo. We love to show artwork as features in our garden, and we are so disappointed that someone would take it." So,
I just have the hippopotamus for Christmas song stuck in my head now.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
No, you don't, because that hippopotamus will eat your
yeah,
ass.
Yeah, they're vicious, man.
They're mean.
You know that 1,500-pound bronze hippopotamus is sitting in some stoner's room right now.
Of course.
It's like his living room. That is like the centerpiece of his domicile.
Yeah, he's like, "Chad, you can come over, but you got to keep your mouth shut." Chad's like, "Oh, my God, bro. Can I ride it?"
Can I get on top of it, bro?
I know you stole street signs when you were young.
I did, yeah.
I stole a fire hydrant. Ian, we've never asked you if you stole anything of that nature.
I have multiple city signs in my apartment that I took years
still?
Ago.
Still?
Yes. That's kind of cool.
Still, no, not really. My girlfriend hates it. She thinks it's real college-y.
Yeah.
It is real college-y.
Okay, I know.
It's
at least it doesn't say Cubs fan parking only, something like that. Yeah, but no, we used to steal a lot of construction material. My friends actually got arrested because they stole one of those spools of copper wire.
Well, did they steal it to like repurpose it to resell it?
No, we just used to take. We used to hop in Bobcats all the time and like drive those around too.
What is wrong? Who
leaves?
Who's the keys in the Bobcat?
Yeah, don't leave the keys
That's
in
on
the
you.
Bobcat.
That's on you. If I walk up to a Bobcat or even a full-on bulldozer and you've left the keys in it, I'm taking it.
Still to this day,
I don't want to. I just have to.
I know what I'm doing behind a Bobcat.
We are getting in the world's wackiest police chases at that point.
Just for the hell of it.
Like if I've stolen a full-on bulldozer and I'm screaming down the road being chased by the cops, and all of a sudden Ian comes out of left field and just pit maneuvers one of the cops in a Bobcat, like that would totally make the intro for world's wildest police chase.
Oh, you know it.
That would be so awesome.
What are you doing later today?
You know,
then you get shot.
Kind of a gloomy day. Yeah. So a dude named Ernst from Florida told media outlets that he had just dropped his kids off at a school on Friday when he came home to work on his Cadillac. And then he said that he opened the hood and there was a snake and it just went crazy. The Miami Gardens man said he called animal control, but they would charge $300 to help out and he couldn't afford that. So he's like, "I got to call my neighbor Dimitri."
This seems like a job for Dimitri.
And Dimitri came over, and he pulled the snake out of the car using a hanger. As for Ernst, he said, "He can now relax. My snake day is over."
How big was this?
How big
was the snake?
I mean, it doesn't really say. I mean, it's a boa constrictor, so they're big.
Those are usually like fat
You'd
snakes.
Think way too big to use a coat hanger with, but whatever.
This isn't Dimitri's first rodeo.
No, nah, man.
Ernst and Dimitri hanging out trying to wrangle a snake together because the 300 bones for animal control. Also, I didn't know that it cost money for animal control. I thought that's
part of like the
government service,
stuff.
Right? Yeah. Or maybe because they're furloughed right now. Maybe like somebody's like, "Animal control, that'd be $300 so I could eat tonight."
Maybe.
Maybe. Speaking of animals going a little bit rogue,
but
how about
being furloughed as an animal? Doesn't that kind of make sense?
I've been furloughed. Get it?
No. Oh, sorry.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
What is the biggest blunder that you've ever made in your dating life? Kai on Facebook, at Dave Mahoney, said, forgetting my wallet after dinner was done, had to haul my ass back to my house, which was 30 minutes away as the restaurant was closing so I could pay the check. Let's just say I didn't get another date after she thought that I was trying to stick her with the bill.
Wow. I mean,
that's sweet of him to, like,
if she's
go back.
Going to blow it up because you forgot your wallet on a date and she thinks, like, you know, like, legitimately that's where it's going, then you dodged a huge bullet.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
honestly, because, like, save some money.
Wouldn't you think that, oh, it's very sweet that he's going to pay for the bill still, even though that he doesn't have his wallet? You know?
I'm a firm 30. Believer of, you know, like, who the person who asked the person out is the person who pays for that date.
Yeah.
But let's just say theoretically you did leave your wallet or your card got declined for whatever reason. You know, it's not really that big of a deal, right? Not like getting, like, crazy mad over.
If the person is not willing to pay for the food that they just ate, because that's your responsibility.
I've got an issue with that.
If I legitimately forgot my wallet, like, to make him drive 30 minutes home and then drive 30 minutes back. What, also, what was she doing in that hour?
Just, like,
sitting in the restaurant
drinking
by herself, drinking more drinks.
Yeah. I like the gesture of you offering to pay. You know, like I said, I like that.
Are you talking about me, like, when I offer to pay? Because you always wait until I offer to pay. Whenever Mahoney and I go out to dinner,
really?
He just sits there. He gets those little alligator arms.
Oh, like, that he's
oh,
gonna,
I can't reach the bill.
He's, what? Or he's going to reach
last
his wallet.
Time, we all went out together, your wife, my fiance, your daughters.
Uh-huh.
Who paid?
I did.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Every time.
When we were at Kitchen Table Squared, whatever it's called?
Yep, that was you paid for big that? Bill. Big bill. Did took you? Care of that one. Yep, all myself. Yeah. Next one here. Joe said on the first or second date, she asked me if I had any children, and I replied, not that I'm aware of. Never heard back from her. Was it something I said? Vanna said, I once told a guy I wanted to go out with him, not because of his looks, but because he was funny, not realizing I had just told him he was ugly.
I mean, I get what you're trying to do there.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Like, I mean, I think at this point in our lives, you should know if you're good looking or not. Like, and if you don't know if you're good looking, then you're not. Right?
Yeah.
So if somebody likes me because of my sense of humor, I will take that as a compliment.
Jared on our text line at 73100 said, the end of 2017, I bought my now ex-wife, Stephanie, a $1,000 gold Tiffany key necklace for our wedding anniversary. We were kind of on the rocks and talking about divorce, but I still got her a gift and a card. She got me absolutely nothing. Wow. And we were divorced in May of 2018. She never even wore that necklace once.
Oh, my God.
Get it back in the divorce,
like, can
man.
I have it?
Yeah.
Can I have
it
back?
Can she just, like, give it back?
Can I just... We give it to me. I kept the receipt. Yeah,
if you are in a relationship, you have to make a combined decision on whether or not you are getting each other something or you're not getting each other something for, like, the anniversary. Because anniversaries, I mean, they're important, but, like, are they that important to sometimes, you know, because if you've got multiple kids or that's close to a birthday, do you have to go all out on an anniversary?
Yeah, I would say you got to. Yeah, common sense has to be factored in as well for how hard you're going to go.
If you both agreed that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not a huge...
For my wife and I, with our anniversary, we'll just generally do something shared, right?
Yeah.
But if I know that she's going to spring for something for me, even if it's going to be like a surprise something, I always try to match it and or exceed it.
Yeah. I don't want... Like, here's the thing. I buy everything that I want for myself. 99% of the time.
I hate birthdays, and I hate Christmas. I hate all of that stuff when it comes, like, 3 months before, and I start getting the, hey, what do you want for your birthday? I don't want anything. If I want it, I'll just go buy it.
I'm not going to wait 3 months
right.
to buy it.
I am impulsive as hell.
Yes.
But it's fun for your wife to, like, try to buy something for you.
Why is that fun?
Because it's her way of showing
it's
love.
Trying to find
you don't know that.
There's other ways to show that you love me, baby.
Easier. Well, for some of us.
Yeah.
I showered.
On X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Yeah, but
fairly recently.
Oh. Yeah.
But trying to find something, trying to think, and, like, trying to think of something that somebody might want, that's such a pain in the ass.
I hate it. I hate shopping. I hate getting gifts.
I'm not getting gifts.
Huh?
You're not going to get any gifts.
Good. That's the point.
Taking you off the Christmas list.
You didn't give me anything anyhow.
I was going to.
But?
Things happen.
Dave and Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The biggest dating blunder that you've ever made in your entire life. So I was dating this girl whose name was Tiffany, who I had just a total crush on when I was in high school and even, you know, when I first went away to college. And we started dating in my freshman year of college. She was a junior or senior in high school at the time and found out that she was cheating on me. And the way that I found that out is her mom called me and told me that she was cheating on me. And
at least the mom liked you.
Maybe. Like the mom just kind of liked gossiping, I think.
See, I've always had a stinking suspicion that this
a stinking suspicion or a sneaking suspicion?
No, a stinking.
A stinking suspicion. Yeah. Okay.
It's one that's, you know, it stinks.
Yeah, it wafts.
Stinking.
It's the mom's way of
blowing it up. Ever want to blow up a relationship for your kid, just tell them that you found a diary and they were cheating on them.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what happened. She called me, and so I confronted Tiffany. I'm like, I didn't tell her that her mom, because I felt like that was going too far. Because I really feel like knowing her mom and everything, that she really just liked gossiping and feeling like one of the kids. It was kind of strange. It was weird.
Yeah. Oh, she's like the cool mom?
I mean, kind of. She tried to be. Anyway, long story short, I confronted Tiffany and she admitted to it and she wouldn't tell me who it was. But of course, me and my fine detective work, I figured out who it was.
Did you get on MySpace and
This is before MySpace.
Pre-MySpace?
Any social media.
Yeah. So I just, you know, put two and two together, figured it out, and it was this guy named John who was a manager at a Hampton Inn. And I was like,
so he had a good job back then.
Well, he was the assistant night manager.
Night manager. I thought you were saying he was like a GM and punk college kid.
No. He was like the assistant.
Free rooms at the Hampton Inn, Dave.
And well, sure
what
enough.
What do you think what he was doing?
And I pulled up and sure enough, John was sitting in Tiffany's black Pontiac Sunfire with her outside.
Was it a convertible?
It was not a convertible.
Okay.
Outside of the Hampton Inn. And I remember walking up and knocking on the window and being like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And John gets out, and I'm like, "Look, we're going to fight." I didn't say that. I was just thinking, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
And
he kept saying, what are you doing?
He's like, not here, bro. Not here.
Not
in the parking lot of the Hampton Inn. This is a 2.5-star hotel.
A complimentary buffet to set up for the morning.
I'll give you a continental breakfast if you don't fight me right now.
We've got waffle makers the shape of the state we're in.
Cream-filled donuts are yours. Just back off, all right?
All the 2% milk you could drink.
The point is, I don't really know exactly
a really squishy banana also.
What I was doing. I already knew that she was cheating on me.
Yeah.
And I knew it for sure, and I suspected who it was, and sure enough, I found out. Yeah. But like me going there and confronting, they're like, what am I doing? Like, what's the point? Just let it go.
Well, this is something that we learn later on in life.
Yeah.
Like, these things don't matter. But for some reason, because our life and our experience at that point, we haven't figured that sort of thing out. Like, I don't know. I don't know why back then you really wanted to know, or you had to know why.
Now it's like, if I find out that you cheated on me, like, don't tell me who it was.
Just go.
Don't tell me who it was. Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, cool.
See you later. Jeremy said, married my high school girlfriend who I was with for 4 years, who I have a child with, stayed with her after she was hit by a car and all of her friends abandoned her, only to find out she was sleeping with a mutual friend. And her way to break the news to me was to move to California and then call me and tell me. Super.
What a wuss. You can't even, like, do it in person.
Yeah. Did she take your kids? Or did you leave the kids?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is the worst.
Yeah, that is horrendous.
All right, we got two more. One involving Ian.
Oh, no.
That is delightful. It's coming up next.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I mean, who doesn't love a bagel? Put cream cheese on it, put jelly on it, put whatever you want on it. Back off, man.
The orange juice machine's not working.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So have you ever made a big dating blunder? Maybe it was early on in dating and you just didn't know any better, right? I mean, everyone's got to learn sometimes the hard way how things are. This one came to us on our text line said, my last boyfriend was the worst. I knew that he drank, but he lived in Texas and thought it was just a vacation thing at first. We were hanging out because we were always vacationing together because we lived apart. Well, yeah, by the end of the first visit, I realized that he's like a full-blown drunk. Didn't stop me, though, right? Because I'm going to be the one to fix him. No,
yeah,
6 weeks after I moved to Texas.
Oh, no.
I was flying back to Vegas. Thankfully, dodged that bullet.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Moved to Texas. Did, yeah.
Let me ask you guys if you any of you have pulled this move, like where you call, you know, this is kind of pre-cell phone or maybe early days of cell phone.
Back in the beeper days.
Back in the beeper days where you would call somebody and they wouldn't answer, right? Or you couldn't get a hold of them.
Yeah.
You do the old drive-by.
Yeah, drive-by the house. Yeah. Nothing creepy about that.
Nothing at all.
I've thought about that.
There was a girlfriend.
That's even weirder.
I know.
So there was one girl that I dated who lived on a cul-de-sac. So it's like, but it was like not like a cul-de-sac, like you could just like kind of drive up by. It was like a long, like it was like a long road and then a cul-de-sac.
Uh-huh.
So there was like no real way to do a drive-by. You would have to like stop before you got to the cul-de-sac and then try to turn around.
Only had to do a 3-point turn.
You did. So it was before backup cameras.
I had a buddy before backup cameras. had to crank my neck. It was hard. I had a buddy that was going through a pretty bad breakup. And same sort of thing. Like they lived together and then they split up.
Ooh.
And so his ex at the time was always driving by the house to see if he had other girls there.
Uh-huh.
She would never like come knock on the door or anything just to see. And so he had a separate parking spot at a gas station near his house where he would have the girls park.
And
leave
like,
their car, and then he would shuttle them back to his place so that way he wouldn't get the grief from the girl.
Also, what are these girls who are parking at the gas station thinking?
I think they're called escorts. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure. Or maybe they just park their escorts there. I don't know.
I need you to park at the Shell behind the dumpster, and I'll come get you.
It's a litmus test for how the relationship's going to go, right? Are you willing to sacrifice?
I guess.
Ashley said got married within 6 months of dating and then bought him photography equipment to the tune of $2,000. Both the worst decision of my life. Rats. Cassie said, not my blunder, but took my ex to a party at a friend's house. He got white girl wasted, made an ass in front of all of my friends. I took him back to my place to sober up. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he vomited all over my bed. Little nod to yesterday. I showered and sat with my roommate at the kitchen table till he stumbled out of the room. All he could say was, my bad. And he decided it was best that he just leave. I got to clean up a Little Caesar's pizza vomit, lost four pillows, and had to get a new bed after five steam cleans didn't work.
Oh,
man. New bed.
And finally, Ian, you have one for us today.
Oh, man, do I. So I tend to have a little bit of an issue with sleeping with people very quickly. Within the first one or two days.
You do or you don't do that?
He does that. I do that.
Yeah.
You do that.
And look at me. Obviously, you know, once that happens, they're very attached.
They're addicted, right?
Very attached. Sure. Very. So much that I met one girl when I was living in Wisconsin, a very small town in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I was waiting tables with her, and we started hooking up. And probably after the third or fourth time, now, I didn't really know much about her, and I'm not really that invested in people's lives, especially in that kind of sense. So I wasn't really digging on Facebook or anything like that. But I'm over at her house, and next thing I know, her mom's dropping off a kid.
Oh, she didn't tell you she had a kid?
No.
Oh, interesting.
I thought it was just like a casual kind of thing. Little did I know that she was telling her mom about this wonderful new guy she met at work.
Oh, no.
Oh, so
the kid comes to the house, and the kid is a demon. He is a literal demon.
How old is he? Is he like 2, 3 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, like two or three, okay. Where they just do whatever they want, you know, that kind of stuff. And this kid would hit. Everything he would do, he would go up and hit it. Just really.
Super.
Yeah, like luckily he wasn't a biter. But then the family started coming around a lot more, like trying to take pictures of me and the kid. Like, they pretty much were prepping me to be the new stepdad.
Oh, so you're they the just instantly thought that, like, this is the one. Like, he can deal with demon baby.
Yeah, she got herself a new dad for her kid.
Yeah, no, not wow. It was so terrible.
How'd you end it?
Go ahead, tell him. You just moved away.
I moved.
You ghosted them?
I had to.
You ghosted hardcore. The whole family?
I had to.
Please tell me that you were like, hey, I'm just going to run down the street to get a pack of smokes. I'll be right back.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
The average woman spends about $3 a day on their face, according to a new study.
$3 a day.
That works out to more than $1,000 a year, $70,000 in your life on your face.
That sounds about right.
Over or under for you?
Sober.
Yeah.
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 I mean, if you dissect, like, everything that I have on my face, like...
Yeah, that's one of your favorite things to spend money on, right, is makeup? Yeah.
$3
worth of makeup, creams, moisturizers, serums, and more on their face every single day. And then you factor in people like, you know, the ones that get the fillers and the Botox and everything else, and that's when it gets really expensive.
Can we stop it with the fillers and the Botox?
I think you can use, like, Botox is used as, like, if you have headaches or something. I think it's, like, medical reason.
I know people in their 20s who are getting Botox.
That's stupid.
And it's because
the whole...
Kardashian-Jenner
phenomenon.
Yeah.
There is a subreddit on Reddit. It's like Instagram. It's called Instagram Reality, which shows the realities of what people are actually posting on Instagram. The Kardashians are the biggest offenders out of all. Totally. They'll show pictures from the same day. Here's what they posted, and here's the actual photo. It's not even just the massive amounts of makeup that they're doing. There's a massive amount of Photoshop that's going on as well.
Can we also stop with the filters too? I mean, it's obvious that, you know, you just took 30 years off your life, misses. But, you know, like...
or, like, using those apps to, like, fine-tune every single thing about your face.
How hard has age hit you challenge that's been going around for the last couple weeks?
I like the people that are just honest. They're like, yes, I looked way better 10 years ago.
I did not. Yeah. Like, mine, I looked like a, you know... Mine was from more than 10 years ago, but it was before a beard, and which I pointed out...
You look like a pipsqueak, yeah.
Beards are makeup for men. So that helps out. Also... I made a bold statement. You can agree with me or not. I say face filters are just sober beer goggles.
He loves that joke.
He does.
It's not a joke. It's a statement.
It's a statement.
Well,
okay.
So $3 a day, right? You're like, well, that can go a really long way if you just repurposed it and stop wasting so much money on makeup and moisturizers and stuff. And we're not the only ones that were clued into that fact. There is the International Children's Society that is always trying to find creative ways to get people to donate to help those that are in need. And they've actually put out a new commercial in light of this study.
Kathy was born with a face, except hers is a butterface. She has an ugly face. Kathy wakes up every morning to this fact, a fact only reassured by every look in the mirror. Kathy spends $3 a day on makeup trying to hide the world from her ugliness. That's $90 a month. That's $1,095 a year. $71,175 in her lifetime. That's if someone doesn't mistake her for a possum and runs her over with their car. And while Kathy wastes all that money, there are children in need all over the world. Kathy, you are ugly, and there is nothing you can do about it. That foundation will not solve that problem. You can't change your ugly ass face, but you can change the world.
F*** you, Kathy. We're hungry.
This message was brought to you by the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and the Foundation to get that ugly face the hell away from me. We're talking to you, Kathy.
It should have been the foundation for foundation.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I think we should ask all the poor kids to chip in and buy Kathy Moore Foundation.
Full coverage.
Yeah. Cover that beastly ass face.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Mario Lopez is set to be the new star of the revamped Access Hollywood. He's going to take over the show, which is now just going to be called Access, in hopes that he can salvage the show, according to Daily Mail. He has been in talks with NBC bosses since last summer and was at the Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting despite not being a part of the network. An NBC executive told Daily Mail, "We are planning on blowing up the current format of the show and making Mario the star."
Is it Mark McGrath? Is he the host of Access right now?
Who is the host? So I know that Billy Bush was.
But that blew up.
Is it Natalie Morales? Is she the only star? Do we know? She's the current host. And they say that she's furious at the plan as she just moved her family across the country to take over for Billy Bush. But I guess it's not working. Also, like, if Mario Lopez leaving Extra to go to Access Hollywood or just Access or whatever, fine. But he's going to leave L.A. to go to New York. Like, it seems like Mario Lopez, considering that he doesn't really have any discernible talent, is fairly successful. Like, he's fine. He's a good host, I guess.
Yeah.
But, and he was, like, okay on Saved by the Bell 100 years ago.
He's not a good actor.
No.
But
he's a good dancer.
He's a fine host.
He's a fine host, but why would you leave that gig in L.A.?
Probably a lot more money.
Yeah, you think?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I would never leave L.A. for New York ever just because the weather. Moving to New York, you know, after you live out west, how do you go from like sunshine and warm weather to
freezing
cold now, you know? So, I mean, my guess is it's a pretty big coup for them to be bringing Mario Lopez over there because he's been the face of Extra for.
Can they just do the old Indiana Jones? Like, can Billy Bush just like finally get out of purgatory? I mean, I get that Billy Bush, you know, that whole thing with the tape right before the election a couple of years ago, but considering the news cycle, like, Billy Bush was just sort of like there and laughed.
He was like, we've been in situations where people who we are interviewing say
terrible
crazy
stuff.
And you're just
kind of like, ha ha ha.
You're like, trying to get the interview or you're trying to continue on. You're like, what are you saying?
People just took it as like him laughing along. No, it's like, oh, I
like
agree.
An endorsement.
Yeah, like, I agree with what
again,
you're doing.
Like, it's been long enough, I think, for Billy Bush. It's been, you know, almost 3 years now.
If somebody could still be the president
and actually say that,
and you can't host a stupid daytime talk show
about Hollywood and whatever, whoever wore what to some dumb award show. Yeah. Like,
what world are we living in?
Let Billy Bush out of
purgatory
and just let him host another show.
Did nothing wrong.
Yeah, let him go back and take over whatever Mario Lopez is leaving behind.
I hope he gets a shot.
Celine Dion is pulling her song off of streaming services because it features R. Kelly. She is like, you know what? I'm good on this, and I don't mind these stars doing this at all. R. Kelly's a creep. He's been a creep for years. Celine Dion, Lady Gaga, a number of them have said anything that involves me doing a duet with him, if they hold the rights to it, yank it. And they are. So good for Celine Dion. True Detective. Did you watch it?
No, we're going to watch it this week, but it had a
two-episode premiere, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we watched the first episode last night, started getting to the second one, and then one of the kids woke up and ruined it. But long story short, so far, early on into the season, it's pretty good. And, you know, solid ratings, not as good as, obviously, season one, which is, you know, hinged on the superstardom of Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. And then season two also did better. But season two is a pretty big disappointment. So
season
I understand
two was a turd.
Why season three is down a little bit. But they're saying that it averaged 1.3 million same-day linear viewers and 1.4 tuning in for an episode and 1.2 for episode two. So overall, pretty strong. And almost everyone that watched episode one of season three is rolling over to episode two.
What do you think of Mahershala Ali so far as the lead?
Very good.
He was so good in House of Cards. He was great in Luke Cage.
Yep.
He is a phenomenal actor. And when I saw that he was going to be in season three, I got pretty excited. But you think far in the first two episodes, this is...
And I love how they're building his character, too. So just like how they're framing him.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the balanced one, very smart, very methodical, and he's also fresh back from Vietnam, and I'm not going to give anything away, but I just like the way that they're framing him and his character. And
this
very
one's
powerful.
Set in, what, the Arkansas Ozarks, or where is it at?
Where
somewhere
is
in the
it?
South.
So, yeah, it's somewhere like that.
Somewhere creepy, which they always do. The L.A. one, like the season one, down in Louisiana, New Orleans.
Yeah. Like, well, when you start getting out on the sticks, you're like, everything's creepy here.
Scary as hell.
And then finally, Pete Davidson is furious with Ariana Grande for talking about how large his is.
Really?
The Saturday Night Live comedian is trying to play down the comments that she made. She once hinted that it might be 10 inches, and he said that sets up a lifetime of expectations for him. She also wrote huge in a posting that she put out there, and including in a song. So she is saying that it's enormous, and he's saying, hey, let's be cool with that because now you're setting me up for everyone to expect it to be huge. And he said to Ariana Grande, because she's so small, everything seems huge.
Yeah, you don't want that rumor. You don't want that stereotype if it's not true.
You want the rumor to be that it's teeny, so that way when it's just like slightly below average, it's fine. Yeah.
For years
Howard
and years.
Stern was perfect to that.
Yes.
Yes. He was the best. So who do you want to meet more? Sylvia, Pete Davidson with his huge junk, or the three of us guys that want to meet Ariana Grande that apparently everything is huge too? Because I feel like it's pretty appealing on both sides.
If you go
right
up to her, she'd be like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
You're so big.
I want to meet Pete Davidson personally.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Out of curiosity?
Nah, I mean, I feel like he could watch me and himself at the same time with those wonk-ass eyes.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, man, y'all just suck. You know what I'm saying? Nah, just kidding. I love you, dog.
Message deleted.
At first, I was prepared to take my lumps for the day. Mm-hmm. That does happen. You know, we get some messages from time to time. Mm-hmm. People are just like, I hate you. I hate everything about you. You're awful. I'm like, cool. Thanks. If you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. Oh, wait. Just turn the station if you hate us that much. Please don't actually.
Was that Randy Jackson?
Got you, dog.
Oh, man.
Please leave a message gonna be a no for after me. The tone.
Yo, 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 what up? Ian, we beat your little Blackhawks again. Suck ass.
Message deleted.
That's Ivan the Blind Mexican talking trash to Ian about the Chicago Blackhawks, even though Ian isn't that big of a Blackhawks fan.
Thank you, Dave.
Mahoney's the Blackhawks fan.
I'm a Blackhawks fan, but since we got the Golden Knights.
Now we have a home team.
We've got a home team.
You switch teams, yeah.
Yeah, not the first time in my life.
College was weird.
That's right.
College was weird.
That's
please
right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Two questions for you. One, are Tommy Bahama shirts really worth it? And two, what's the key to success, my friend? You seem somewhat enlightened, and you know what? I figured I'd ask your opinion.
Message deleted.
Well, let me tell you. No, just kidding. Go ahead, Mahoney.
Tommy Bahama shirts, the endless summer of Bahama came to an end because Sylvia, being the rude person that she is.
How am I?
Selfish.
How am I selfish and rude?
Yes. She refuses to wear clothes that she can layer.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now.
You refuse to take it off.
Take it off, Sylvia. No, you actually have, because you said before, like, you wear a sweatshirt sometimes. Yeah. You won't have another shirt on underneath it.
Yeah, because it's can't too take tight.
It off. Today, you actually told us that you have a shirt on underneath it.
Yeah.
So you are layered, so you could just take off your sweatshirt, and then you keep turning the thermostat down
you
in the
studio.
You
turned it on to, what is it, 85?
I turned it up jokingly to 85 because you kept thumbing it down to 64 degrees in here, and it's freezing.
Cold.
Liar.
Freezing.
I put it like, it was, I came in the studio, it was 74, and I put it to like 73.
Mm-hmm. 63.
I will say that having the smooth silk shirts from Tommy Bahama on your nips is there's nothing quite like it. Yeah. If you can, don't pay retail. You know, they do a decent amount of sales. Places like Lord & Taylor, you can get pretty good discounts. Just got to keep your eye out. Smart Shop. In that case, I would say, like if you get one for about $40 to $50, definitely worth it. And, you know, I appreciate you saying that I'm an enlightened man, and I try to live my life, the most comfortably that I can. And it starts with the clothes, and it just kind of expands out from there.
So step one, silk on the nips.
Yep.
Step three, success.
Yep.
Please leave a message after the tone.
This rain is making me really wet. Maybe I should go inside.
Message deleted.
Nah, man. You do you.
Stay wet.
You just stand out there in the rain.
Nah, man, that's how you catch a cold.
Wink at motorists as they pass by. Hello.
He's winking right now.
Hello.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
That's how you get hit by one of those cars.
Hello. Hello.
Still winking. Permanently winking.
More of a blink kind of now. I don't know. But the eyes don't work. Secret code for this hour is ROCK. Text the word ROCK to 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000. You can also enter it on our website at x1075lasvegas.com. It is the New Year stimulus. X1075 with the 1975.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
A blessing or a curse? A woman in China develops a disorder where she says she can't hear men's voices anymore. A woman in China who woke up one day unable to hear her boyfriend, but her boyfriend didn't need to take it personally because she couldn't hear other men's voices as well. It's called a reverse slope hearing loss, and it's called reverse slope because the shape that results on an audiogram is a graph of your ability to hear sounds based on the frequency or pitch, and specifically guys with lower voices, she has a much harder time hearing.
So would her boyfriend have to talk in a really, really high pitch?
Just always sucking on helium.
I love one. You.
You're the best.
Just constantly singing in a falsetto.
Yeah.
She has a hard time hearing.
You believe this?
The lower range. No, I think she's making it up.
I feel like this is something that's made up.
Babe, I'm going to go out for a pack of cigarettes. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And if you don't like it, you can...
She's like still smiling at you.
So there are six signs, red flags. If you see them on a first date, you should run. You guys tell me if you agree with these, okay?
Okay.
Number one is they badmouth their ex. If they're always talking trash about their ex, then it's probably, you know, about them. They don't see any faults in what they did. That's why they broke up. I'll take it a step further. If they talk about their ex at all.
On a first date?
On a first date, yeah. I mean, obviously that stuff will come up over time in a relationship, you know, where you talk about exes.
Okay, because like I have mentioned an ex before.
Not on a first date.
Not on a first date, yeah, but like it's come up.
You could talk about, even then, like I'm still like, I don't really want to talk about that sort of stuff.
And that's when I learned don't talk about your ex at all.
What was in the context of?
No, just kind of like bad mouthing him, like, oh, he was, you know, doing this and doing that. Until like, you know, my boyfriend at the time was like, you should stop.
Oh, he actually told you to stop talking about your ex?
He got mad at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
They only talk about themselves, another red flag?
Well.
It depends. So if you're on a first date and somebody keeps asking you questions and you keep giving the answers to the questions about you, that's different than always redirecting. Because you've had conversations with people like that before, right? Where they're always redirecting the conversation back to themselves. It's always about
them. And you might as well just listen.
Who would do such a thing? Like, I wouldn't know anybody who would ever make it about them. But one time I was actually on a date with this girl and she kept doing that. It just really, really upset me.
Did it?
Yeah. No, it didn't.
All right. Oh, okay.
No, I was trying to redirect back to myself. Therapy? But we were having problems there.
Oh, okay.
They're rude to the waiter. I agree with that.
Oh,
yes. That, I've had that happen. Well, he didn't tip.
If my wife is rude to the waiter right now.
Divorce.
Irreconcilable differences.
Yep.
What do you do?
Yep.
As somebody who worked in the service industry for many years, that is not how you treat a waiter at Outback Steakhouse.
Anywhere. At Outback Steakhouse.
He's going to bring us our cheese fries cold, and then they're not going to be delicious even when we give them in ranch.
I had really bad service over the weekend when I went out for my mom's birthday. And I was like, I literally pulled out a calculator to tip the exact amount, like the smallest amount I could tip and not be a jerk.
Yeah, like 15%?
15%. Because, you know, I'm like, to the penny, I'm like, the worst service ever. I'm like, if everybody else but your waiter's good, do you still get, what do you do at that point? Like, the busboy's good, the manager's good, but the waiter's a piece of crap.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always begrudgingly tip 20%.
See, I begrudge. I'm with 15 because it was 15, like, I want to fight the guy. Yeah. Like, I was literally sitting there. I'm like, I want to fight this dude.
Well, that would be that's sign number four, first aid. No, I'm just kidding. They drink too much is number four. It depends. So, like, a couple of drinks is loosening up, right? But if you're like blackout drunk.
Blackout drunk is a problem.
That's a problem, right?
But you guys like to drink. I like how you guys are like, oh, no, it's fine.
Oh, it's fine.
It's fine. Whatever.
No, she takes the edge off a little bit and gets a little loosey-goosey, you know?
What's cool with that?
It's kind of like, I'm having the best time, Dave. Success.
You want to loosen it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Three or four beers, I don't think is too many, personally, for a man of my size.
But if you see her drinking six, are you going to drink six as well?
Yeah,
me too.
Level the playing field. We Ubered here. It's fine.
She wants a blackout. I'm with you, sister. Let's do it.
We'll try to piece the day together tomorrow after we've accidentally slept together on the first date. It'll be terrible. Number five, they admit that they've ghosted on people before.
I don't hate that.
That doesn't bother me.
No, man.
Just don't ghost me.
Yeah, just tell me.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't working. Whatever.
Yeah. And then number six, they seem bored. Like, if they seem bored, I'll just shut it down
I was going to say, like, don't you just shut down the date? Like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go or something.
No, I mean, like cut give the them a date couple short. Chances. Be like, hey, you know, like, are you enjoying this? Do you want to go somewhere else and try something? And if they're just like, yeah, you know, whatever.
This is my A-list material, man. This is like seeing a comedy special for the first time.
I ironed this shirt. I don't iron shirts. I ironed this shirt to come hang out with you. If I ironed this shirt and I'm telling you all of my not very impressive accomplishments, but I'm rolling out the red carpet on my life and you're just like, yawn.
Let me ask
See you never.
Let me ask you this. So I was talking to my fiance about, we were talking about our first date not too long ago. And, you know.
Was it in the context of why on earth did I fall for this?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm tall. So she's got a type.
She's like, I figured if I ran, you'd just catch me.
Yeah. Little does she know I don't run. But we were talking about, so after our first date, I told her, like, we were having it was a great first date. You know, like, new things were good.
Yeah.
And I had just a very frank conversation with her the next day. We'd been talking leading up to this first date.
Yeah, okay. First date. Facebook or whatever.
Yeah. First date goes great. And then after that, like, we're talking, and I go, you know, hey, I don't want to waste your time. Like, I'm not looking for a platonic best friend here. Like, if you just think that this, you know, if you're looking for a friend or you think this is really not going to go anywhere of that sort, then let's just call this, you know, because I'm into you, but I'm not trying to be your platonic best friend.
What, did you think that you were getting friend zoned?
No, but I just want to make it very clear.
You're like, hey, baby, I want to show you. See that right there? That's the friend zone. That was the friend zone.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.
I am here for the sex.
Yeah. I didn't want to waste time.
And I'm done. Cool. I'll be your friend again. Let's cuddle.
Dave and Mahoney.
Time for Know the Show. Here's today's question.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
So I just, you know, put two and two together, figured it out, and there's this guy named John who was a manager at a and I was like,
so he had a good job back then.
Well, he was the assistant night manager.
I thought you were saying he was like a GM and you're just some punk college kid.
No. All right, so glad we could unearth that corpse from a past. Got cheated on by a girl named Tiffany one time and found out that she was cheating on me with a dude named John, who was an assistant night manager at this particular hotel. And I caught them there. Not having hot relations in a hotel room. Sitting her in her Pontiac Sunfire in the parking
lot. What'd you roll in? Was that when you were driving the Periwinkle Ford Probe?
That's right.
Was it the GT?
It was the GT. I'll have you know. I rolled up and I kind of blocked her in so that way she couldn't pull out of there. Like she would like ran into my car or anything. I think I was overestimating how much she cared at that point. But, you know, had he jumped out of the car and been ready to fight, I was also prepared.
Did you have a smoke shop samurai sword with you?
I did not.
Okay. You just had your fists of fury.
So I feel like that could be a great series, the Smoke Shop Samurai. You know, where you go to different smoke shops and you quiz them on their knowledge of the samurai.
I'm sure it's high. X1075, good morning. What is your name?
Michael.
Michael, what is the correct answer? What lovely establishment did he work at?
Holiday Inn Express.
Close, but no. Sorry. Thank you for the call, Michael. X1075, good morning. What's your name?
My name is John.
Hey, John. What's the correct answer?
Wait, is this the same John?
Wait, you son of a bitch!
Oh,
you son of a bitch! Oh,
he's triggered!
You son of a bitch!
He's triggered!
You son of a bitch!
He's triggered!
Where were you an assistant manager at, John?
Hampton Inn.
There you go.
Dude, it's him!
It is you! Yeah, long story short, you really made me dodge a bullet on that one, so thank you, John. Thank you for giving it to my high school / college girlfriend. Appreciate you. Alrighty. He's going to get set up with some passes to go check out the Fly Link. It's the new zip line that is now open, so he's going to go enjoy that on maybe a nicer day than today.
I mean, it's a beautiful day.
It's not. It's just dreadful outside.
Just be careful.
Just be careful when you're driving.
Be careful out there today, people.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for joining us for today's Dave Mahoney Morning Show. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine, out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.